We will turn again to the chapter, or rather the book of Isaiah, rather. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. We can read from verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It is especially verse 11 that we would seek the Lord's help to consider this evening. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The chapter begins, as we considered last time, with a command to the servants of the Lord to comfort God's people. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. These are my people, and I am their God, and these people need to be comforted. And so the command is, comfort ye my people, with a double earnestness. They are to comfort the people of God. And that the warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The time of hardship has come to an end. If there is anything more particular that this refers to, perhaps it is when the Old Testament church has been delivered from the Old Testament dispensation, and that is all the rites and ceremonies have come to an end. You see in verse 3, there is a voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that is speaking of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, announcing his coming so that all the obstacles in the way would be cleared, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and so on in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. When Christ came, it was the glory of the Lord being revealed. And there were many who were in that day waiting for the coming of Christ. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it has been pointed out that this is a promise that was yet future in the time of Isaiah. And thus the Old Testament church is exhorted to patiently endure and wait for the fulfillment of that promise, as we find at the end of the chapter, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and so on. And so, generally speaking, it is a promise of future blessing for the church, which was fulfilled in the coming of Christ the first time, when he came to suffer and die on the cross, to purchase reconciliation, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And we find that this that there is absolute certainty in the fulfillment of this promise, because you see in verse 6, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? So there are two people speaking here. One says, cry, the other says, what shall I cry? And here's the answer. This is what they are to cry. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Speaking of one generation passing after another, and yet, though that is the case, and the glory of man is withering, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, yet, verse 8, the word of our God shall stand forever. God will fulfill all his promises. The Apostle Peter applies this to the gospel, when he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. So here is good news. This is the good news of salvation. The Messiah is coming, and pointing forward, the exhortation is to Zion, the church, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. The gospel was to be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, the law would go forth, and people would be converted to the Lord. And here is the good news. We find it more clearly in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So the Lord God is coming with power. And here is the good news at the end of verse 9. I say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Your God, he says, be comfort ye my people, saith your God is coming. He has come in the prophecy. It's as if when Isaiah gave the prophecy, it had already taken place. He sees it so clearly. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And if God is our God, what more could we need? We have everything. We have all blessedness if the Lord is our God. And of course, we should ask that question again. Is he our God? Can we say, he is my God? Only those who are truly called by grace can say that. Yes, there's an outward relationship being members of the visible church, and he is the God of his people in an outward covenant relationship. But to have a close personal relationship, a saving relationship with God, that is different. And only these who are truly saved, truly converted, and have a new heart and have desires for Christ, these are the ones who can say, he is my God. But of course, you're being called to this. The gospel is inviting sinners to come to Christ and to call upon the name of the Lord, that you would be among those who are in this relationship, trusting in Christ, by faith, united to him. So pray for the gift of faith, that you would be among those who can look to God as to say, my God, behold your God, and behold, he will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. He will rule powerfully. The arm is speaking of power. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Is this a reward that he gives, or is it a reward that he takes? Well, we believe it's the reward that is given to him. Yes, he will be so faithful, obedient to the will of God. He will accomplish the purpose of the Father, that he will inevitably receive his reward. His reward is with him. He will be exalted. He will be extolled. He will be very high. He is the Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. His reward is with him, and his work before him. You look into the grammar, you can see in other places where this word reward is used, that the reward is given to him who has the reward. It's the reward that is given to him. And his work is before him. But the question is, what is included in the reward? Jesus is given a reward for the work that he accomplishes. What is that reward? We find it in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will have his people. They are his flock. The church that he suffered and died for, that's his reward. He will have his people. So when he gives his life a ransom for many, and he pours out his soul unto death, Isaiah 53, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. He will have his people, his seed, his children. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And it is this theme of the Lord Jesus feeding his flock Indeed, as part of his reward for suffering and dying for his people, he will have them, he will feed them, he will lead them, that we would consider this evening, first of all, the feeding of the flock, and secondly, the gathering of the flock, and thirdly, the gentle leading of the flock. And we can consider each one of these only briefly. And we need to ask ourselves again, do we see our need of the shepherd? Do we understand, do we realize that we need to be led? And not only led, we need to be saved. And there's only one who can save us, and that is the shepherd who died for the sheep, as we read in John chapter 10, which we'll consider. So the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of here. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And so we have the feeding of the flock. He is the shepherd, as he calls himself, the good shepherd, who gives his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus makes it plain that he is the shepherd. The Jews were saying, tell us plainly. Well, he was speaking very plainly, that he himself is the shepherd of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the scriptures, of course, abound with this symbolism, that of the Lord Jesus, or God himself, as the shepherd of his people. And whenever you read of the inspired writers speak of the Lord being a shepherd, often the history behind it is that they themselves were shepherds. For example, Jacob looked after Laban's flocks, and he had his own flocks, and yet he knew that God had led him as a shepherd leads his flock. As he blessed Joseph, he said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the God that shepherded him. So the Lord led him. Moses, you remember, took care of Jethro's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. And so later on, he declares that the Lord found him, that is Israel, in a desert land and in a waste-howling wilderness. He led him about. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Again, as we find in Psalm 78, verse 52, he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely, and so that they feared not, and so on. So God is the shepherd of his people. He will lead his sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And Peter speaks about the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, that great shepherd of the sheep, he speaks of Christ in that way. So there is no doubt about this, that God speaks of himself as the shepherd of his people, and that is the second person of the Godhead, more particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is no hireling. He had no fear of the enemy. He looked after his people. When everyone forsook him and fled, he stood up to the assaults of the evil one. If we can interpret the wolf who would scatter the flock as Satan, or the world, whatever it was, the Lord Jesus stood up and met the foe and vanquished him, conquered the enemy by suffering and dying for his people. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So the Lord Jesus did all that was necessary for the salvation of his people. Knowing his own and calling them by name, he laid down his life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again, and he laid down his life, giving himself over to suffer on the cross. And as you remember in Zechariah chapter 13, the sword of divine justice went out against God's own Son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And so the flock would be scattered, but then we read that the Lord says he will turn his hands upon the little ones. He will gather them. Yes, he will feed them. He will take care of them. The flock of Christ was given to him from eternity. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And when he came into the world, he suffered and died for them. He secured their salvation. He purchased their pardon. And so he feeds them. He gathers them. You see, the word feed is very comprehensive. It includes the whole work, the whole care of a shepherd over his flock. He will tend his flock. He will shepherd his flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And so that brings us to the second point, which is the gathering of the flock. He did all that was required of a shepherd, even to the extent of laying down his life for the sheep, and he will gather his flock. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And God had promised in Ezekiel chapter 34 that he would seek out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. A shepherd will I seek out my sheep, he says, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And so the Lord Jesus gathers his people that he died for. And how does he do that? He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And as you know, the arm speaks of the power of the Lord. When the Lord comes with strong hand and his arm shall rule for him, he will powerfully conquer all his enemies. But that same power will be put forth to gather his lambs. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And more specifically, the power of the Lord Jesus comes forth by the Spirit in gathering his people to himself, gathering the sheep, gathering his people, gathering the lambs in a powerful way by his Spirit. And what is that? The effectual call. Question 31 of the Shorter Catechism, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. And that's how the Lord Jesus gathers his children, his lambs, by sending his Spirit and calling them powerfully, showing them their sins, showing them their need of Christ. Do you see your need of Christ? Do you see you're a sinner? You see you have a black heart, and you need to be saved from the desperately evil heart that you have? You need Christ. Oh, pray that the Holy Spirit would come and show you your sins, but also show you Christ to see his suitability to your need. That's how the Lord Jesus gathers his lambs, by his Spirit. Awakening them, convincing them, converting them. And that's what we all need, to be powerfully drawn to Christ. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. They are lambs. They're helpless. We need to see our helplessness. We don't deserve to be treated as gently and delicately as little lambs. We deserve to be cast into hell. But the Lord saves by showing his people how helpless they are, how dependent they are upon him, as a little child held in the arms of his mother. so helpless, so totally dependent upon the mother, so the lamb is dependent upon the shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And again, we need to ask ourselves, do we see our helplessness? How dependent we are upon the Lord. We can do nothing of ourselves. We need to be clothed with his righteousness. We need to be drawn by his Spirit. We need to be upheld and supported in danger. We are weak. We are helpless of ourselves. But again, that's how the Lord Jesus gathers the lambs, by showing them by his Spirit their helplessness and bringing them to depend upon himself. Without the shepherd, they would perish. They would perish being devoured by the wolves and the lions. But as David, so the Lord Jesus plucks the lamb out of the lion's mouth. He saves his people from the grip of Satan, delivering them from the power of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we read that he gathers the lamb with his arm and carries them in his bosom. He holds them in his arm. And where is that? It's near to his heart, in his bosom. So close they are to his heart. They are in his bosom. They are in his heart. They were written upon his heart, as it were. The high priest had the names of the tribes of Israel on the breastplate whenever he went into the holy place. And when the Lord Jesus went to suffer on the cross, he had all of his people, all the names of his people in his heart when he suffered and died for them. He shall carry them in his bosom. What love the Lord Jesus has for his people. It's an inseparable love. Nothing shall be able to separate his people from the love of God, which is in Christ, because they are in his bosom. They are carried there. And how secure his people are. No one, he says, shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. Just as the Lord knows all the stars that he created, we didn't even mention that on Sabbath evening when we considered the last part of this chapter. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, verse 26, that bringeth out their hosts by number, the hosts of stars. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. All the stars and the galaxies, he's holding them up by his power. Surely his own people that he suffered and died for, he holds them in his hands, he keeps them in his bosom. They will never perish. He will lose none of them. Well, we come in the third place to look at the gentle leading of his lambs, his people. And shall gently lead those that are with young, those literally who give suck. They are those who do have little lambs, the ewes with the lambs. They certainly cannot be driven forward very fast. These ewes who have little lambs that they're nursing, well, they have to be dealt with very gently. And the point is made, of course, that the Lord will not overdrive his sheep. He leads them. He gently leads those that are with young. The law is the schoolmaster to bring us or even drive us to Christ. But the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, yes, he awakens us, he shows us our sins, but he also draws us with the cords of love, as we were hearing in the prayer. He draws them powerfully, but also sweetly. And those who are truly converted, they know something. It may be in a small measure, but they know something of the sweetness of the gospel. That the Lord Jesus is precious to them. They see a goodness, a loveliness in Christ that draws their hearts. And that is one evidence that they are truly his people. They are being gently led. They are drawn. They want to come. They desire Christ. Do you desire Christ tonight? Is he precious to your soul? How thankful you should be if that is the case. It is the work of the Spirit, drawing the heart to see, yes, the bitterness of sin, but the preciousness of Christ, the altogether lovely Savior, the gentle shepherd, the good shepherd, which giveth his life for the sheep. Think of that. He carries them in his bosom. He gently leads those that are without. He's a gentle Savior, and yet he's powerful, almighty. And perhaps you've seen a very strong man with large arms, and you perhaps thought, well, you wouldn't want to make him angry. But at the same time, this very strong man had a little child in his arms. That strength that could cause damage, if it was put to wrong use, is put for the protection of the little child. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the almighty Savior of infinite power, but he will gently lead those that are with young. He will not drive his sheep. He knows his people are weak, and all of that power that is put forth, yes, to destroy the enemy, is on behalf of his people, in their best interest to uphold them with the everlasting arms, to lead them with care. He shall gently lead those that are with young. He does not teach them everything all at once, but step by step. He does not give them burdens and duties that would overwhelm them, but he knows what his people can cope with, and he strengthens them by little and little. As sometimes the Lord's people wish that they were stronger than they are. They would like to grow overnight, but they do not. But the Lord gently leads them on, and they do grow in grace by degrees, from strength to strength, that he gently leads those that are with young. So we find this again and again in Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, the proud. He will not be gentle with the proud. I will feed them with judgment. So the Lord is showing us very plainly, as Calvin puts it, he will carry them in his bosom. These words describe God's wonderful condescension. For not only is he actuated by a general feeling of regard to his whole flock, but in proportion to the weakness of any one sheep, he shows his carefulness in watching, his gentleness in handling, and his patience in leading it. The Lord will do all for his people that a shepherd would do for his flock. Any sheep goes astray, he will go after it and bring it in. The sheep that has a broken limb, well, the shepherd will carry it forward. And those who that are with young, little lambs following their mothers, the shepherd will gently lead those. All of that a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his love and his compassion and care for his people. David knew that. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But what do you think of this shepherd? Is he precious to you? Do you desire the Lord Jesus to be your shepherd? You may not be able to say with full confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But can you come this far and say, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I know this much, that if God is my God, all is well. If the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd, oh, I'm a happy person. There's nothing more I desire than that Jesus Christ would be my shepherd. Can you say that tonight? Oh, that's a good thing. Don't stop there. Ask the Lord to assure you that he is your shepherd and that you will follow him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you want to follow those paths, friend? Do you want to follow the paths of righteousness? Do you desire to be righteous? Do you desire to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ? And do you desire to be led in the righteous paths of the Lord? Those are good paths, pleasant paths, and great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It is the evidence that the Lord is carrying you in his bosom. If you delight in the law of God after the inward man, it's the evidence that the Lord has you in his heart. Well, then pray this, that the Lord would set you as a seal upon his heart, as a seal upon his arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Pray that he would draw you with the cords of love, with the bands of a man, the man Christ Jesus, the good shepherd, which giveth his life for the sheep. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. May he bless his word. Let us pray.